John 16. Look at verse 6 and verse 20. Verse 6, our Lord said, "Because I've said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." And verse 20, he said, "You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." And Peter, I really meant to read 1 Peter. Peter spoke of joy unspeakable, full of glory. Go back and read 1 Peter for yourself if you want a blessing. Now, humanly speaking, naturally speaking, you cannot really joy and rejoice in something without sorrow. Everything is taken for granted until it's taken from you. Isn't that right? It's just so. Our children, we give them everything that they could ask for, need, and want all the days of their life, and they take it, every bit of it, for granted. Until they go out someday. It's just so with them. It's us. You see, you can only appreciate recovery when you've experienced loss. You may have something that's dear to you and you take it for granted. It's there for the longest time. You just take it for granted and then you lose it. What if you find it? I'll never take that for granted again. You can't really appreciate riches until you've been poor. Right? What about if you were rich and then lost it all? My grandparents lost two homes. The first during the Depression. He lost his job, lost his home, lost everything. Every dime they had, they lost it all. And then the Lord gave it back and they built up everything. They had a little farm in Tecumseh, Georgia, just a nice little farm, a few acres and all that. Burned to the ground. No insurance. And the thing I remember about my grandfather is he never took anything for granted. Tommy never threw anything away. He fixed everything and he kept everything. He appreciated after loss. Health, good health. You take it for granted all your life until you get sick. Don't you? Anybody? Everybody. It's just so. Rest. You don't know anything about real rest until you can't sleep for a while. You know, when you're a teenager, they have to wake you up at noon. Don't they? You just sleep your life away. Wouldn't you? Yeah. Why? You don't have to go to work. You don't have to earn money. You don't have to turn the electric, the heat on. You know, mom and dad will do that. Boy, when you get older, sleep is a precious thing. Rest is a precious thing. You don't really appreciate love and faithfulness and friendship until somebody betrays you. And then you really appreciate somebody faithful. You really do. As painful and sorrowful as these things are, it causes pain and sorrow. Joy is much greater. Our Lord said this. He said, "You shall be sorrowful over many things. You shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Doesn't say turn to joy. Turned into joy. Meaning it's there not going to be any more sorrow. It's all turned into joy. You're going to look back at your sorrow and rejoice that you had the sorrow. You follow me? You're going to look back and say, I'm so glad I went through that. Turned into joy. Did anybody catch that? It's significant. You know, the prodigal left home, and do you know what grief that caused his father and mother? When that prodigal left, they didn't hear from him for the longest time. My brother ran away from home when he was 16 years old, and my parents didn't hear from him for 2 months. They didn't know if he's alive or dead. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if Andrew ran away 15 and you didn't hear from him for 2 months? How would you be? Would you be sleeping at night? That prodigal ran off. He didn't care about his father. He didn't care about his mother. You know what he cared about? Himself. World. Stephen, one day, he came home. All that sorrow, gone. Forgotten. Rejoicing. In this world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. It's going to turn into joy. Our Lord said, these things, verse 6, these things have I said unto you, and your sorrow hath filled your heart. What did he say unto them? We've already looked at this, but he keeps telling us these things. I keep telling you. I keep reminding you what he said. That's my job. What he said to them was in chapter 13, he said, one of you is going to betray me. And it's so. Is somebody in this room right here, one of these days, going to leave Christ, depart from the living God, and leave your brethren? When you leave your brethren. You say, I don't need them either. I don't need Christ. Is somebody in this room going to do that? Some have. How does that make you feel? Sorrow. Does it? Sorrow. You know, and you, everyone, the true disciples, Lord, is it I? And every one of them were sorrowful and thinking, Thomas was thinking, oh Lord, don't let James. I love James. Don't let James leave him. You know it's so. It's not Matthew. It's going to be me, if anybody. It's not Matthew. Right? Every one of them were full of sorrow. One of you is going to betray me, he said. Filled their hearts with sorrow. Then he said, denial. One of you is going to deny me. Simon, he named him. Simon. You know, Simon was bragging on what he... Simon. Son of Jonas. Before the sun comes up, you're going to deny me 3 times. What about you? What about me? We're going to do something or say something or not say something or do something that denies the Lord 3 times before the sun comes up tomorrow. Yes, we are. Does that fill you with sorrow? What's wrong with me? Does it fill you with sorrow? It ought to. What's wrong with me? How could I deny my Lord? He said, all of you are going to be scattered to your own. Didn't he? Verse 32. Every one of you is going to turn to your own. Going to go your own way. Going to go back to your house and forget me. Anybody ever done that? Well, how does that make you feel? Fills your heart with sorrow. My, my. You know, Isaiah 53 says that. It says, all we like sheep have turned gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. Back to our own. Our own. And the next verse says, and this ought to fill your heart with sadness and joy. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. You left. He didn't. You're unfaithful. He can't be. You deny him. He can't deny you. No, why would you deny somebody that will not die? Deny you. How could you do that? Well, please start with. That's why that publican, what's wrong with me? Get this. My heart. What's wrong with me? How could I? He that loved me and gave himself for me, give myself to everything. What's wrong with you, Gomer? It ought to fill our hearts with sadness, shouldn't it? Sorrow. Blessed are they that mourn. You can't mourn doctrine. You mourn over your own sinfulness. Depravity. I believe in depravity. I'll tell you what I believe. I'm depraved. He said, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated and persecuted. That's proof. That's proof that you're mine. He said they hated me and persecuted me. It's going to be proof that they hate you. If they love me, they'd love you. But they don't love me. They don't love what I said. And they're not going to love you. And they're not going to listen to you either. Now, nobody wants to be persecuted. Nobody wants to be hated. Nobody wants to be disliked by their neighbors and family and all that. Nobody. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody. Nobody wants enemies, do they? But our Lord said this, rejoice. Didn't he? They did that to the prophets. David was bringing back David. There's not a kinder, gentler, more loving, sweet man on earth. David. Don't you love David? The Lord loved David. David loved the Lord. David came back. The ark was gone and it was coming back into Jerusalem. The ark. And David was so thankful and so grateful. And David was jumping and dancing before the ark. It's the Lord hadn't left us. The Lord hadn't left us without the word about the gospel. He's come back. The gospel's come back. Maybe the Lord brought David back from a bad. He was so happy. And he looked up. He came home. And his wife despised him. You're a hypocrite. And just killed him. Just slew him. Didn't it? Honey? I know I'm a sinner. Honey, I know I'm just a son of Adam. Honey, I know I'm a sinner. But God, this is all my hope, all my plea. Honey, the blind man in John 9, the blind man, the Lord healed him. He'd been blind all his life. And the Lord opened his eyes. And he told everybody about it. He was telling everybody about it. He went to his friends and his family. He went home and said, I can see. And they kicked him out of church. They kicked him out. Don't believe that. So our Lord said, you'll be persecuted and hated, but it's proof of the truth. And you know what that does, persecution? People that hate the truth, you know what it makes you appreciate? You know what it makes you grateful for? That you love the truth. And you know what people that persecute you and hate you and want nothing to do with you make you appreciate? People that love you. That's what our Lord said, love one another. You love one another because everybody out there is going to hate you. And they wish you were dead. The Lord said, you're going to have sorrow. You're going to have loneliness. Our Lord said, I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was everything to them. He really was. He was their life, their heart, their soul, their father, their mother, their brother. Christ was all and in all. He really was. He was their life. They depended on him. They looked to him. They called on him. They loved him. They loved him. They loved the Lord Jesus. They really did. It wasn't a show. They really did. And Christ said, I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. And killed him. Sorrow filled there. Does the thought of Jesus Christ leaving you, what does that do to you? He ought to. Shouldn't he? All of them. He said to all of them, he should have left them a long time before that. He said, have I been so long time with you? How long must I suffer with you? Didn't it? The thought of the Lord Jesus Christ leaving them just filled their hearts. The scripture says, filled their exceedingly sorrowful over that. Lord, please don't leave. You know what? Loneliness, you're going to have to feel, and all of God's people have felt it. You're going to have to feel it sometime that the Lord's left you. Yes, sir. Because when he utters those words, go tell my disciples and Peter, you'll dive in the ocean. You will not get to him fast enough. You will not get to this pew fast enough. You can't appreciate his faith, his coming to you and coming back to you and keep bringing you back. Unless you go through a time of, do you think his mercy is clean gone? Do you think he's left you? The Song of Solomon, don't turn there, I was going to have you turn, but a Shulamite maiden, remember she fell asleep. Remember? She fell asleep. The Lord came and knocked on her door. That's to his bride, church, okay? And he put his hand in the door. You see, there was no knob on that door. He's going to make her feel shame because she forgot about him. She was so taken up with the world and the things of it and family and friends and their responsibilities, she forgot and she fell asleep. She didn't. And he came and she said, God, don't wake me. Don't wake me. Too comfortable. Okay. I'm gone. And days for days, she said, she went around, said, I sought him. I couldn't find him. I couldn't find him. How many times have you prayed? You got nothing. How many times have you read the scriptures? You get nothing. How many times have you heard the gospel? And people all around you rejoicing and rejoicing. And you get nothing. You see, when you get something, it'll make you appreciate getting nothing. You with me? When you get a crumb, we've heard mercy all our lives, haven't we? We've heard of God's unbelievable love to us all our lives. We've heard of grace. Yeah, I believe sovereign grace. Do you? Do you know how amazing it is? Do you know how amazing it is that God keeps giving, keeps drawing, keeps pulling, keeps calling, keeps preaching to you? You know how amazing that is? And if he sits, how many times? Okay, that's a good sign. You know what the Lord ought to do, John? You know what the Lord ought to do to us? Bind him hand and foot. And no. He's too faithful. He's too loving. He's too kind. And we're none of those things. We're none of those things. Amazing grace. Would to God we'd never sing that I am, except from our heart, at the top of our lungs. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. You know, there was a time that none of these men cared for the Lord Jesus Christ. None of them didn't care a thing about it. None of them were seeking him. They were all lost. They're out in ships, fishing, making money, tax collector. None of them cared anything whether or not Jesus Christ lived or died. They didn't care anything. But he cared for them. And he came to them. He chose them. Could have chosen anybody. Is election amazing grace or what? He came to them and chose them and said, now, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you to myself. I've come for you. I've come to die, live and die for you. Give you life. You were dead. I've come to give you life. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. You're my beloved. Me? There was a time when I didn't care whether Jesus Christ was alive or not. This whole world is full of people that don't care if he lived or died. Okay? Is it nothing to you? Oh, every time I hear a car go by, we're sitting in here by the grace of God. Every time I hear that, you know, you hear that guy, Stephen, that guy in that truck, whatever it was, that was me! That was me! One day. But, God, one day, stop! Stop my wild career. Stop! Sit! Like an old wild cur dog. Sit! He spoke peace to me. Now listen, you're mine. Stop my wild career. Hitherto shall you come no further. Is it nothing to you all that pass by? No, it's nothing. Behold and see if there's any sorrow. Like unto my sorrow, Christ said. The world says, I don't care. That's what the world said. Those that don't come worship God are saying, I don't care. I did that. And the Lord came to Nazareth where he grew up. Now let's talk about joy. Okay. Now I want you to forget all this. I hope you were somewhat sorrowful. I hope this, if it didn't fill your heart with sorrow, I hope you got a little bit of sorrow. Because the gospel doesn't mean a thing to you if you're not. You know that? If you don't fit all of those things I described, the gospel won't mean anything to you. Because here's the gospel. Our Lord came to Nazareth where he grew up and nobody cared for him. Did they? Listen, he came to Nazareth and this is what he preached. He said, the Lord has sent me, God has sent me good tidings to the meek. Sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive. We're not captive, we're free. You know, freedom from the law, it doesn't mean a thing unless you've been under the law. He said, I've come to proclaim liberty to the captive, open the prison to them that are bound. Turn Barabbas loose, turn him loose. A ransom's been found. Whoo, did you Barabbas holler or what? He said, the Lord hath come to sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord is accepting all, all applications for mercy. Everybody that applies for mercy gets it. Ooh, man, if you need mercy, that's a good sign. He said, the day of vengeance is of our God to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Our Lord said in our text, he said, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. You know, sorrow's good. It's a good thing. The Lord sends sorrow. He said, in the world you have tribulation, sorrow, be rejected, you'll deny me, and somebody's going to betray me. And if you don't, it'll be by my grace. And I'm going to leave you alone for a while. And he said, but it's going to be turned into joy. Sorrow's good, but joy's better, isn't it? Wouldn't you rather be joyful? You want to hear some joy and gladness? Huh? You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Sin and sorrow weakens us, but the joy of the Lord is our strength, gives us peace, joy in the Lord. Now I want you to notice that all the sorrow that the Lord said they would have was concerning Him. You understand what I'm saying? It was all about Him. Them and Him. Their denial of Him. Him leaving them. They're turning their own way from Him, you see. That's the only people who are going to be sorry. It's all about Him. If Christ is all to you. Now here's joy. If Christ is all to you, if the gospel brings you joy, this is really going to be joy. And it's called unspeakable joy, but I'm going to try to speak on it. I'm going to try to tell you things we haven't really experienced yet, just a little bit. The Lord gives this, I love this. The Lord gives this illustration of a woman in travail and birth. Is he wise? Is he the wisest? He is wisdom. This is it. This just sums it all up. Okay? He said in verse 21, a woman when she's in travail has sorrow. Now, our Lord said to the woman in the garden, you remember this? You know when all this trouble started in sin? With a woman. It all started with her. How do you think she felt when she knew what she'd brought upon herself, her husband, and everybody? How do you think she felt? She walked out of that garden and a few years later saw her son laying on the ground, a pool of blood. She said, I did this. Didn't she? You know she did. And our Lord came walking in the cool of the garden. And He spoke to her. And here's what He said to the woman. He said, I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrow in conception. You're going to sorrow trying to have a child and can't. And then when you have one, you're going to sorrow in having it. And you're going to sorrow in losing it. I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrow in bringing forth children. Stay with me now. I expect somebody to holler. See, when you travail, He says, it's going to be great sorrow. Great sorrow. Well, our Lord in great love and mercy, the woman's seed came. He's called a man of sorrows. What a name for the Son of God who came. Why? Because here's a woman He loves. It's in great sorrow. And He came. Now listen to Isaiah 53. Listen to this. It says in Isaiah 53, surely He hath borne our griefs. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him, despised Him, esteemed Him not. Surely, though, He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God, afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we're healed. The Son of Man, the seed of woman, the Lord Jesus Christ came. And He said of this woman, as soon as she's delivered of child, she travails. When her hour has come, our Lord said on His head into the cross, He said, my hour has come. This is my hour. And He said, I'm exceedingly sorrowful, didn't He? Even unto death, didn't He? I'm exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. They were sleeping. He's sweating blood. But He loved them. He's not going to leave them or lose one of them. And that's how He's going to save them. But as soon as that woman, who's in great sorrow, is delivered, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. It says in Isaiah 53:11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Scripture says in Hebrews 12, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame. Any sorrow like his sorrow? No. Any joy like his? No. What he endured for his people gave him great joy to make us his people. He travailed in birth. That's who this is talking about. You know that? He's talking about himself, John. He's talking about Christ and him crucified. That's who he's talking about. You know, when a woman can't have a child, it's tough. It's sorrowful in it. We know, don't we, men? 5 years. We finally thought we're not ever going to have a child. When we got the news, will you ever forget that day, men? Never. We still talk about it. You're pregnant. We still talk about it. And then that baby, the doctor handed that baby. I never get over that. All that sorrow, 5 years gone. You know, a woman can have a miscarriage. You're waiting for a child, and you finally get pregnant. And then the Lord takes it. That's who takes it. It's not a miscarriage. The Lord took it. Is that sorrow or what? Some in here. That is sorrowful. Two young ladies. One was here for years. Had a miscarriage before she ever had any children. Had a miscarriage. Had a couple of miscarriages. Another young lady in another church had a miscarriage. And they were so sorrowful. So sorrowful. But you know what? The Lord gave them a child. And you know what? That sorrow, that deep, deep sorrow of that miscarried child, when they put that live child in her hand, joy unspeakable. But you know what's even going to be greater than that? Is the Lord in mercy took that child, took him all the way to glory, that miscarried child. And if you know the Lord, you're going to see that child again. You're going to walk up and it's me. And you're going to thank God for the rest of your days that he took him. That sorrow is going to be turned to joy. And the child will never be taken from you. Isn't the Lord good? What about an abortion? That's bad, isn't it? How could a woman kill her unborn child? How? That's not natural. That's without natural affection. Animals don't do that. How? Because men are evil. Maybe somebody did that. And then the Lord had mercy on you. And the Lord had grace on you. And revealed himself to you. Had mercy upon you. You're going to be in glory. And you're going to see that child that you didn't want. Isn't the Lord good? My amazing grace. Isn't it amazing grace? Amazing. You know, when a woman's in travail, Mindy was in labor for 24 hours. I remember coming to her, and why are babies only born at 2 a.m.? 3 a.m.? Why not noon after 1 hour and the sun's shining, the birds are singing, no pain? Because of Genesis 3. Because the Lord said so. Because then you're going to appreciate that child that comes. All that pain, all that sorrow, it's going to be gone. And then you see that child. But I remember coming to Mindy 23 hours later. The doctor said, it won't be long now. I said, how long? He said, about an hour. I said, honey, it's only going to be an hour. She said, only an hour. I said, go ahead and cut my head off. I can't go another hour. And how long we go through our Lord? Do you know what it was like for our Lord to live on this planet for 1 month? Do you know what it was like for Him who was holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners to live in this cesspool? Every day, day in and out, He heard everything people were thinking and saying, and hatred and malice and envy and wickedness and filth and injustice and killing and hate. That's all this world's about. And yet He came into this world to deliver people just like that. Such were some of you. But God, for the Lord Jesus Christ to travail as He did for 33 years, that's like an eternity, and then go to Calvary's tree, for Him to be forsaken of God for 1 minute. Just the thought of being forsaken by the Father He loved made Him sweat blood. Do you understand what our Lord travailed in to do for us? No, we don't. We'd sing these hymns over top of everybody. And you know, this is a picture of Christ being formed in His people too. What a picture of Christ and Him crucified for the joy set before. This is a picture of us, of Christ being formed in us, the new birth, a woman. All of God's people are female. They're His bride, they're His wife, all of them. All of them. Second man, second Adam. We're the second Eve without sin. A woman, every child of God is in the Lamb, is the Lamb's wife, the Lamb's bride. And when the seed is sown, when the word is sown by our husband, when He comes to us and puts His word in us, the first thing is sorrow fills our hearts. First thing, sorrow. And over sin, over ourselves, over the world. And then we travail, don't we? Then there's travail. Thank God. Tribulation, trials, travail. There's a battle. There's a battle within us. There's a warfare within us. There's two people struggling. Like Rebecca said, why am I thus? Why is this going on? The Lord said, there's two people in you. One I love, the other I hate. And they're going to battle inside of you. And so there's a battle, there's a warfare, there's a struggle within us. And then we live 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years in this sinful world. Sorrow, 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 sorrow. You think, Psalm 13 says, how long? Lord, how much longer? Read that tonight. Read Psalm 13. Spurgeon said, you go from sighing to suing to singing. He said, you go from pining to praying to praising. How long, how long, how long? And it ends with, it wasn't long at all. Twinkling of eye. Go with me to Isaiah 35, and I'll close. Isaiah 35, let me close with you. How long? A woman, as soon as she's delivered, as soon as she's delivered, joy. And nothing else is remembered. They don't remember any pain, any sorrow. It's gone. All sorrow's gone. As soon as she's delivered. You know, we're not delivered yet. Are we? We're still in this flesh, don't we? Paul said, it's not as though I'd already attained. I'm not perfect yet, he said. I'm not there yet, he said. So this is what I'm going to do. But as soon as she's delivered, as soon as the Lord calls us home, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, everything changes. All things become brand new. Everything. And it says in Isaiah 35:10, the ransom of the Lord shall return. And come to Zion, songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We're not going to remember a thing. Not going to remember a thing. You know what we're going to remember? Here's what we're going to remember. I was a great sinner, and He's a great Savior. No guilt, no remembrance, no regrets, none of that. It's gone. John, it's gone. It's gone. Put away by the sacrifice of Christ. He said, I'll remember no more, and bless God, we won't either. And there's going to be such joy and gladness, and it's never going to end. Now, what's it all about? Jesus Christ. He did it. He did it all. Okay. John, you come, please.